The Paradise Marriage, Part 2. Another beautiful passage that shows how Christ treated his wife to be is Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 5 of Philippians 2, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So here he's talking about having the mind of Christ. And what was that? Well, let's read on here in verse 6. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So we're called to have the same attitude as Jesus. That's how we put on the mind of Christ, having the same attitude, imitate his attitude and disposition, the same humility and the same willingness to suffer. Now, even though he was God and he had a right to be equal with God, he became a nobody. He made himself of no reputation. Why? So that he could save the human race. And not only did he become a human being, not only was he born as a baby and grew up as a man, but he even became a criminal so that we humans could be righteous. Isn't that amazing? Yes, he took our sins. He took our sin debt upon himself and gave us his righteousness. Now, in light of that, husband, are you willing to be wrong so that your wife can be right? Yes, Christ took our wrongs and gave us his righteousness. And so, as husbands and wives, are we willing to respond in kind? It works both ways. Wife, are you willing to be wrong so that your husband can be right? You know, the problem with us human beings, we aren't even willing to admit that we're wrong when we really are wrong, much less take the wrongs of someone else upon ourselves. Shame on us. Christ's attitude is death to rivalry, and it's all about esteeming others better than ourselves. Now back to Philippians chapter 2. Let's flip back a couple of verses earlier. Again, here are expressions of the mind of Christ. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Now, we've talked about how that Christ laid down his godhood. It was his right to be God. But he became a mere human being in spite of that. But now we, as mere human beings, we've got this problem of wanting to be gods in our own right. And if you don't think so, you just watch yourself. Just watch how we human beings act in real life. Now, there was a preacher that initiated his sermon with two statements. Statement number one, there is a God. Statement number two, you're not him. And that may strike us as a little bit funny. But, you know, you just wait until someone slights us, until someone questions our attitude, someone questions our motives. And it's amazing how defensive we become. That happens in our relationships with husbands and wives. You know, we become so defensive. You know, I'll look at, again, flipping back to Jesus' example. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they tried to point an accusing finger at Jesus because of the virgin birth. And they made this statement, "We be not born of fornication." The scribes and the Pharisees, they were snide and they were nasty. But how did Jesus respond to that? Do we see him running that thing down and trampling that nasty accusation into the dirt? No, Jesus spent no time on it. The scripture says that when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but rather he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. As husbands and wives, we need to remember, you know, we're not God, and we're not perfect. We have no righteousness to protect. We have no godhood to defend. And then Jesus made this statement. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give my life a ransom for many. Again, thinking about the Dead Sea or the Eden experience. You know, it makes all the difference whether what we're entering into marriage for. You know, if we came to be pampered, if we came to have everybody do everything for us, or to have our husbands, or to have our wives cater to us every step of the way, then our life, our experience is going to be a Dead Sea experience. But if we, like Jesus, we're there to minister, we're there to reach out, we're there to be an outlet, an expression of the love of Christ to our companions, it can be an Eden experience. As husbands, you are called to be the minister of your wife and of your home. After the example of Christ, who came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and maybe you want to open your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 5. We read that in at least a portion of that in part 1. Verse 26 now. We had read how that Christ gave his life for his bride, for the church, for his wife-to-be. Verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. As the husband as a minister of your family, it is your responsibility, it's your duty to see to it that your wife, that your family experience exposure to the Word of God. It's your responsibility to establish a family altar, a daily time of Bible reading and prayer for your family. And again, verse 27 goes on and says that Christ's purpose was to redeem to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And this is pointing forward, I believe, to heaven, to when Christ receives his bride into heaven itself. As husband, as a minister to your family, to your wife, to your family, it's your responsibility to see to it that your family makes heaven. You know, it's not necessarily your responsibility to see to it that they're able to live in luxury and you know, drive the luxury car and have the perfect home and so forth. But it is your responsibility, after the example of Christ, to see to it, to see after the spiritual need of your wife and children, if you have any. Verse 28 says that husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he goes ahead and makes this statement, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know, that's pretty common sense, isn't it? It's like the expression is, happy wife, happy life. You know, you love your wife and treat her the way you'd want to be treated, it's bound to come back to you. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. All right, talking about Jesus being the minister to his bride or bride-to-be. Back there, when in the Last Supper, we have Jesus taking a towel and girding himself, and he began to wash his disciples. It is sometimes, as a husband, you need to don the nurse's uniform, as it were, and be a nurse to your wife, to your children. Sometimes it's, you know, just seeing after the. Maybe she's got the flu, you know. Maybe you need to bring her the pills and nurse her aches and pains away. You know, she hurts, you hurt. And in some ways, they may hurt easier than we, you know, tough, rugged men, or at least we tend to look at ourselves that way. The Bible does say that the wife is a weaker vessel. I believe that is, in some ways, the average woman is probably not as strong physically and perhaps not as strong emotionally. And on the flip side of that is they have areas that they excel, that they're stronger, they're better equipped than we are for their callings in life. So they're stronger than we are in some ways. But you know, we as men, you know, we want to be strong men, but we are not strong. As a husband, you are not strong unless you can be gentle, unless you can be kind, unless you are able to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." And the scripture enjoins us to dwell with them according to knowledge, dwell with our wives according to knowledge. In other words, learn what she enjoys. Do that. And whether it's touching, whether it's simply a simple touch or a hand on the shoulder, you know, hugging. Buy her a dozen roses. Surprise her. Just do things to surprise her. You know, learn what makes her happy and then do it. You know, it's a worthwhile investment. He that loves his wife loves himself. Back in Genesis, we have the story of Isaac and Rebekah. And they were in the land of the Philistines. And this Philistine king or ruler, he had his eyes on Rebekah. He thought she was beautiful. And he had in mind that he wanted to take her to be his own wife. Well, Genesis says that he kind of like looked around the corner and he saw Isaac sporting with Rebekah. And so he decided, hey, this is his wife. Well, you know, that's a good idea, to sport with your wife. You know, do the little things, whatever it is, the little, say the little nothings, do the little dumb things that makes marriage fun. It will put the light back into your wife's eyes. And it's so important that we do those little things that can bless our marriage and that can add happiness to our homes. Be a man of steel and velvet. You know, be kind, be gentle, be a minister, be like Jesus. But you know, with Jesus, there was never a question about who was in charge. So don't be afraid to lead. She wants a leader, and she will likely respect you if you lead out, if you take your place and fill your role as a husband. And a part of that is being a leader in the home. Now, stepping back a couple of verses there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So Ephesians chapter 5, if there's two basic teachings, it's husbands love and it's wives submit. And it even says, as unto the Lord and in everything. Now, as husbands, we aren't listening here. This is not a license to become tyrannical, but rather it's important that we as husbands, you know, let our wives guide the house, which is a New Testament teaching, that our wives guide the house, bear children and guide the house. That's God's plan for married women. Let her guide the house while while you're away, while you run the business, while you run the farm, whatever it is, whatever your occupation is. Maybe it's just simply while you're away at work. And now that doesn't mean that part of life is off limits as far as communications. There's, as husbands and wives, there's no part of our lives that is off limits when it comes to communications between us and husbands as wives and husbands and wives. We need to talk about everything together and do everything together. That's very important. And now back into this, in relation to this thought of wives submitting to their own husbands, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now again, this is not well accepted by modern women. But I believe the Christian woman can appreciate the fact that this is God's order. The order of headship is God, Christ, man, woman. And we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where that is established. And the Apostle Peter also enjoins women to submit to their husbands, putting on the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now Peter points back to holy women of old, and even mentions the fact that Sarah even called Abraham Lord. Now, I would never expect my wife to call me Lord. But the fact of the matter is, I do believe that the closer we come back to the example of Christ and the church, following patterning our marriages after that example, the closer that we get to the ideal, the closer that we get to a paradise marriage. You know, interestingly enough, every woman wants a strong man. But you know, the feminists today, they turn their husbands into wimps, and then probably turn around and despise them for it. You know, like Solomon says, he says the foolish woman pulls down her own house with her own hands. And I think that's a very vivid example of that. You know, feminists like Eve are trying to improve on perfect. God's principles are perfect. And when we violate them, when we take what's not ours in marriage, we end up with not paradise improved. We end up with not an improved marriage, but rather we end up with paradise lost. We end up with losses to our marriage instead. Now, wife, you are also called to be a minister like Christ. That's not just for the husband, but to be a minister to your husband, to your children, and to others. Now, there's one place that this illustration of Christ and the church, we might say, is weak. And that is the fact that we as husbands often come far short of being like Christ. but you know, the wives are called to be like Jesus as well. And I'm especially thinking of this one sense. You know, Christ didn't wait to sacrifice his life. He didn't wait to redeem mankind until mankind was worthy. No. Christ loved us even while we were yet sinners. And you know, that applies to husbands and wives both. That we don't wait till the other one is worthy of our service, of our commitment, of our faithfulness, of our loyalty. But no, we need to do as Christ did. And just do the right thing, whether our partner at the moment is worthy of it or not. And so, wives, you've been called to give yourself in service to your husband, to your family. You know, again, practical everyday things, washing, cleaning, cooking, mending. You know, these, when viewed in the right way, they become opportunities for you to serve, opportunities to serve your husband and your family, opportunities God has given you to pour your life into someone else's life. If you do it in love, it will bless your home, and it will help your home to bless the community and the world. You know, as you guide the house, as you've been enjoined to as a wife, as a Christian wife, make the atmosphere sweet. Make it a pleasant retreat for your husband. You know, when he comes home, be there. Be waiting for him at the door. You can do so much to make the house a home. You know, make your husband want to come home. Make him feel like he's important to you. You know, after all, this is your little kingdom. If you treat him as the king, very likely he will treat you as the queen. Do that. Do treat each other like royalty. And, you know, give each other that same mutual respect. Now, this sermon is geared toward the traditional roles of men and women, with the husband as the breadwinner, the wife as the homemaker. And we make no apologies for that, because I believe that that is a part of the recipe, God's recipe, for a paradise marriage. And again, we can't improve on perfect. Now to both husbands and wives, the Bible is short and to the point about the intimacies of marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other. Now here, when it says render due benevolence, this is talking about tender, loving care. You know, when it comes to the intimacies of marriage, we give the keys to each other for this part of our lives. In the world, partners use this as a club to control each other. But that is ungodly, and it should never happen among Christians. But in this area of our lives, yes, we need to use tender, loving care. We need to communicate. We need to be open to each other. You know, it's important that we understand each other and are mutually considerate of each other's happiness when it comes to this part of our marriages, of our lives, as well as every other part. In this part, again, dwell with them according to knowledge, husbands with wives especially. You know, don't say, like many say, that, you know, there's one thing that, if there's anything I've learned about women, it's that you can't understand women. Don't say that. But rather, try to understand your wife. You know, spend time in trying to understand. And it's a learning curve. But it can make your marriage beautiful when we mutually try to learn to understand each other and dwell with each other according to, you know, what we learn about each other. You know, again, looking back at the Garden of Eden, you know, God made a paradise, and then Satan came on the scene in the form of a serpent. And he took what God had done, and he made a mess of it. He ruined the perfection that God had created. Then God turned around in return. He sent Jesus to restore man's relationship with him, you know, to bridge the gap between a sinful man and a holy God. And so now, if we repent of our sins and accept by faith the salvation that God has provided, the provisions of Christ at Calvary, in the spiritual sense, Eden can be restored, and it can be restored in our own personal life and experience by the grace of God. And someday God indeed will have the last word. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Bible says. But I believe that even today, with the foundation of salvation, we can have paradise revisited. You know, we can again recreate or have recreated in our own lives and experience, you know, the experience of Adam and Eve back before sin. But it's only accomplished through the grace of God in both of our lives as husbands and wives. It's through a selfish, selfless abandonment of ourselves. You know, if both of us, just think of the potential, if both of you as husbands and wives, if both of you would think only of the happiness of your mate, and both would keep surprising the other with tokens of love. And again, you know, as we stated in the beginning, be a source, not just an intake. And then I said, we can't be sources. We can only be channels, because Christ is our source. And all good things come from the throne of God, and only through a vital connection with God through Jesus Christ. But if we can't be a source, we need to be channels of blessings to each other, to our spouses. And in that way, yours can be a paradise experience today. May God bless you to that end. May God give you and your mate many happy years together. Thank you for listening.